Thank you, Brother William. Good morning to all of you. Welcome you to the house of God. Welcome you to Zion Fellowship. All right, this morning I'm going to speak from the book of Psalms for our New Year message. I'm going to entitle the message, "May You Have a Better Year," from this passage, Psalms 37. So if you have the Bible with you, please turn to Psalm 37. We'll read from verse 1 to verse 24. Psalm 37, verse 1 to verse 24. Are you there? All right. Psalm 37, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and withered as green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prosper in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just, and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that the righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the evil shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadow, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous show mercy and gives. For those who bless by him shall inherit the earth, but those who curse by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hands." All right, let us pray. Father, we come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. And once again, Lord, we want to be soaked in your word. And we want to extract, Lord, some nuggets of wisdom, Lord, from this portion of the scripture. So I pray, Lord, you anoint your servant to speak a word. May it be clear, may it be simple, and may it, Lord, penetrate the heart. And I pray for your children to receive your word. We all come humbly before you at the feet of Jesus, and we seek your presence to be with us, and the Holy Spirit to come and to illuminate this word, to make it alive, and may it be a portion of our life. May it dwell in our heart, and may we exemplify your word to the people around us. So Holy Spirit, come to glorify the Father and the Son. In the name of your Son Jesus, and we pray. Amen. Amen. Alright, today is the first Sunday of the new year, 2018. Or rather, it is the beginning. And I want to bring a message that would encourage all of us as we say goodbye to 2017 and enter into another new year. All of us wonder what the new year 2018 will bring. Will it be a good year or bad year for us personally? Now, in some ways, 80% of the time it will be business as usual, and 20% of the time it may be different. You will have a good days and bad days, and some of the plans will come to fruition and some will remain undone. And you will discover that some of your friends will be there when you need them. Others will fail you when you need them most. And you have some victories and also some setbacks, and it will be simply a reality of life. But the setbacks that we have in the past are not final and decisive, because it is only temporary. While we may celebrate past success with thanksgiving, we must not despair over our past failure, because we can turn our past failures into life lessons that is learned to make us grow wiser. And our past mistake can also be a stepping stone and need not be a stumbling block. Regardless of what success or failure we had in the past years, we must keep on growing, we must keep on learning from the past and the present, so that we can go higher in the Lord Jesus. And more importantly, how can we allow God to make the new year 2018 more purposeful, more meaningful, and in alignment with His will for us? And so in today's sermon, I'm led to this passage, Psalm 37, in particular verse 23 to verse 24, the psalm written by King David. And it says, the key verse, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And though he falls, he says, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Now, for your steps to be ordered by the Lord, the Bible admonishes us to adopt six attitudes in the first 8 verses of Psalm 37. And so, regardless of how your last year went, I want to show you from this Bible passage how we can apply it in our life to bring forth a better 2018. Now, if you have a good year 2017, you can have a better 2018. And if you have a difficult or a hard and trying 2017, a good understanding and application of this passage from Psalm 37 can help us to attain a better 2018. Now, I don't know about you, but I have had a difficult and trying year 2017. And by that, I also mean Zion Fellowship as a church had a difficult 2017. And towards the later part of 2017, I had some conversation with some pastor friends and also occasionally with the guest speaker whom we periodically invite for our church services. They asked me how Zion Fellowship was faring in 2017. And I was somewhat frank and honest with them. I said we had a very difficult and a trying year. And so they responded by sharing that generally most Australian churches and Christians they know of were also experiencing similar things, meaning a difficult and a trying year for 2017. And one pastor went on further to say, he said most likely it had to do with the fight against same-sex marriage agenda. And there was lots of spiritual attack and oppression coming from the enemy. And so let us go to Psalm 37 to learn the counsel of King David, who wrote this psalm under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And now the psalm was written during the latter parts of King David, when he was old. Now how do we know that? Because in verse 25 it says, I have been young and now am old. I think this is one of the most helpful psalms King David had written. And King David, as you know, was a man after God's heart and had come to learn and understand many things after going through a number of trials, temptations, and painful experiences. And there is no substitute for experiences. And near the end of his life, David had attained much wisdom. And he wanted to impart to us some nuggets of wisdom through Psalm 37. Now, in what way can we apply ourselves to attain a better year for 2018 and beyond? And may I suggest to you the 6 practical attitudes to adopt based on the scripture taken from Psalm 37, in particular, verse 1 to verse 8. And number one attitude is, fret not. From verse 1 to verse 2, he says, do not fret because of evil doers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and withered as the green herb. To fret is to be burned with anger, flustered, distressed, or very upset or aggrieved, or a perplexed over something that one could not get over it. It is a picture of someone who is so perplexed with the mystery of life that it affects his normal functioning in life. It comes to the point of affecting a believer to stumble and affects his faith walk because of the contradiction that he sees in life. And one finds to reconcile the contradictions with God's justices and promises in the Bible. There is another psalm which I didn't read, Psalm 73. The psalmist Asaph experienced similar contradiction. And Asaph began to stumble and began to backslide because of what he saw with his physical eyes. And he saw that the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer. In other words, good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. And worse still, God people suffer and bad people seem to get away with the many evils they committed. And the wicked get richer, the righteous just get by or struggle in life. And the hypocrite seems to get his way and get promoted. And the upright are hindered in their progression because of their honesty and walk of righteousness. And this is an age-old question most of us ask periodically in our faith walk. And have you ever felt that way? If God is God, why does He allow such thing? And as Asaph make more comparison, the more he is upset and in pain. Fret and also envy was trying to get a foothold in his life. Asaph was tempted to forsake righteousness and join the wicked. And he was dangerously close to forsake his faith because it seems that God was not looking after the upright. And he was thinking whether he should join the crowd out there. Asaph's heart was in deep contradiction and perplexity. And he knew the truth of God, yet his physical eyes saw the contradiction, something different. And he was struggling with this perplexity, with the decision of whether it's worth continuing to walk in righteousness. And how to understand this contradiction until he went to the sanctuary of God. Then suddenly God opened his spiritual eyes to see the spirit world, which was hidden from him before. He saw the end of the matter in the eternal world. The eternal and the unseen spirit world is real. And there is eternal consequences after death. And he could see the end of the story and the destiny of the wicked. He could see that in the final analysis, the wicked are punished and damned. And after it, consumed with terror. And all the wrongs are made right. And justice is restored. And the righteous are vindicated and rewarded. And though the end may seem a long time away, but the final outcome is clear. When it comes, it can come so suddenly. And there will be the day when the party is over. The day of reckoning and judgment is at hand. And for the psalmist Asaph, God opened his spiritual eyes to see the end of the matter in the eternal realm. But for King David, he was able to see the outcome of those wicked men in his lifetime. And he lived long enough to see how the evil worker were eventually cut down like a grass and withered away. And because King David learned so many things in life, he wrote this Psalm 37, trying to encourage us. And King David say, one thing I learned, don't fret over those apparent contradictions and injustices in life. I know there are few people here who have gone through this and who is going through the valley of deep trials and suffering. You are walking the paths of righteousness, to honor God, but yet bad things happen to you. And yet you see a number of unrighteous people prospering and getting away with their arrogance and wicked ways. May Psalm 73 and this passage from Psalm 37 that we read be a comfort to you. Now, Pastor Irene and I have pastored this church for 14 years. Generally, not all cases, but generally, this is the qualifier. We see that churches preaching adulterated and cheap gospel prosper, while those churches who preach an uncompromising gospel are not prospering. Yes, we have our inadequacy and we are not perfect in pastoring this church. So in the ways that we have failed you, please forgive us. But we have always strived to maintain a good conscience before God, to remain faithful to God and His Word. We have not twisted God's Word or Gospel for our own profit. Nor have we manipulated you to give money or entice you with the Gospel of prosperity or hyper-grace. Though it will attract more people to bring in the so-called growth, the numbers and the money. And we have presented to you a balanced gospel and admonishing you to walk the straight and the narrow way. And after pastoring 14 years, there are a few occasions that we ask ourselves, why do the liberal and compromising churches prosper while the faithful remnant just get by? And at times, we do try to reconcile this mystery of life. And periodically, God will remind us the word of Jesus, and especially Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to verse 14. He says, enter by the narrow way, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And it says that there are many who go in by it. Many, because it's a broad way. Because it's the wide is the gate. And then it goes on to say, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So each time, when we are discouraged, God will come and encourage us in different ways. In either through the word like Matthew 7 that I just read, or Psalm 73, the Psalm of Asaph, or this passage 37, the Psalms of King David that we read today. Some other times, God would encourage us through some brothers and sisters in Christ. And so let us continue with Psalm 37. The psalmist king go on to tell, King David, go on to tell us to adopt the second attitude. Not only not to fret, but the second attitude, trust in the Lord and do good. Now, when you don't understand and you cannot reconcile what is going on in the world, continue to trust God and keep doing good, it says. Now, trusting God in difficult times for most people can be a hard thing to do. Continuing to do good is hard because it demands a certain character, a certain strength of character. And when one sees that the wicked and unfaithful are thriving, it can be very discouraging. And for some, the sight was powerful enough to cause a crisis of faith. What our eyes have see have the power to affect our emotion. And understand that these two little eyeballs are often capable of causing you to doubt your faith. One is beginning to question his or her approach to life and struggle. And Satan is quick to whisper into our ears to say, what is the point of being faithful to God and doing good and right? God does not care and it does not pay. And Asaph in Psalm 73 was tempted to forsake righteousness and join the wicked. And he was dangerously close to forsaking his faith, because it appeared that God was not good to the faithful and upright. Now, some people ask, how do you trust in the Lord spiritually in practice? The psalmist gave a very practical answer. He says, by continuing to do good and to do right. This is a way to show that you are trusting God. Seeing the contradiction in life can drain you, make your heart grow cold, and get you to stop doing good and right. Now, Pastor Irene and I have 3 children. We have always tried our best to bring them up in the ways of the Lord, to do good and to do right. They are all grown up now, and they are working. And one of my 3 children have this strong sense of right and wrong. And recently, this child experiences more than one's fair share of trials and injustices in her workplace. And in this illustration, I choose not to reveal the identity of which child is it among the 3. And the value system of this child is under attack because of the contradiction this child sees in the workplace. The scheming and the unrighteous prosper in the workplace, while the righteous and the honest Christian get by and often suffer injustices. And this child told me that what is the point of doing good and right? It simply does not pay. And in response, I always encourage this child to trust in God. Continue to do good and to do right. Think long term. Do it not unto men, but unto the Lord. And ultimately, God will reward you. Yes, emotionally, it is hard to trust in the Lord. It takes character and strength and faith. And the effect of not continuing to trust the Lord can make the situation worse, because temptation become more unbearable. Trials become more unmanageable. And everything becomes exasperated when one is not trusting the Lord. And when you trust in the Lord and continue to do good, God promises you something good. Old King James Version had a better translation. He says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. In other words, God promises that eventually He will plant you in a place where you will thrive and you will be fed spiritually. The third attitude to adopt is 3, delight in the Lord. Verse 4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. And this is a powerful promise. But what does that mean? Our hearts has got many desires, rightly or wrongly. Desire for food, desire to be successful, to be famous, to be rich, desire for all forms of pleasure. However, over time, we soon discover that this desire for the various pleasures are just passing pleasures. It does not give the fulfillment and the satisfaction we're looking for. The main reason why our desire is not fulfilled lies not without, but within. It is not our changing circumstances, but our unregulated desire that rob us of the inner peace and fulfillment. Now, unbridled and worldly wishes are the worst enemies of our inner peace. They destroy the tranquility within us by putting us at the mercy of the external. And by chasing this earthly desire, we give perishable things supreme power over us, and in the process make us always dissatisfied and unfulfilled. And the cure for this inner discontentment and dissatisfaction is to first delight in the Lord. We are created to worship and to delight in God. And if we forgo this purpose, and then other pleasures will become empty and meaningless. So Psalm 73, the other Psalm, 25 to verse 25 and verse 26, Asaph finally realized and said, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none on earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Asaph discovered that his previous goal in life was a wrong desire. And so he began to pursue God as his delight. His desire had been purified. It was no longer on wealth, blessing, and earthly pleasure. It is God that he wants. And when you first delight in the Lord, God will give you the contentment and the fulfillment. And so God gave us this simple invitation in verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. God can satisfy the desire of anyone who truly delights in him, because those desires will be according to his will. The key of enjoying life is found in not getting what we want, but desiring our Creator, the Lord God Almighty. And when we delight in God, our desire will become God's desire and his will for us. Attitude number 4, commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. One thing that most generation, modern generation lacks is commitment. The modern generation of society is promoting values of non-commitment, especially in relationship and life in general. And you have things like de facto relationship cohabitation. They are getting more common today. And the attitude, if it works out, we will continue, and if does not, we will split. Surely, an attitude of this nature will not produce good outcome, because it takes commitment to produce a good outcome. Now, sadly, the same value of non-commitment is being adopted by many Christians. And many lack the commitment to a cause, to a purpose, to an outcome. When problems arise, or things get tough, uncomfortable, or they don't get the things that they want, their response is, I'm out of here. By commitment, I'm not suggesting that you should endure a recurring abusive relationship, or continue to be part of a manipulative organization, or stay with a church that teaches wrong doctrine, or seriously compromises its moral values, or abuses its member. There are good reasons for leaving a particular church or relationship. The question that I'm asking here is bailing out your first response to difficult times, to some problems, or some stressful period in a relational issue? And do you prefer to run away from a problem rather than make a commitment to work things out and to make it work? The bigger the vision, the mission of God, the bigger the commitment is required of us. When God entrusts any important vision or mission or promises to an individual or organization, God is looking for people of commitment. And when God had a mission of building his church, he entrusted it to the 12 apostles who are totally committed to the cause of Christ. And they were all willing to die for the cause of Christ. And today, after 2,000 years, we have at least 1 billion Christians in the world. In embarking on any God-given mission or vision, you will go through many valley experiences. Your commitment will not allow these circumstances to hinder you. And people will criticize and pass negative remarks about you or your cause. Your commitment will not allow this criticism to deter you. Your emotion will make you feel down. But your commitment will not allow emotions to deceive you. And there will be times of long waiting and fruitlessness. Your commitment will not allow the time of waiting and discouragement to say, I'm quitting. And how committed are you to God, to your spouse, and to your church? Then you can give up, quit, or say, I'm committed to working towards God's vision, mission, or to a relationship that produces a good outcome. The individual who is not committed or is vague in his commitment will be a person who wanders around in life with little direction or fruits. Psalm 37 verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. In other words, if you commit yourself and your ways to the Lord in the long haul, trust Him in all circumstances, He will bring His vision, mission, and promises that He entrusted to you to come to pass eventually. Attitude number 5, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And there's another verse Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to verse 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is rest in the Lord? When you rest in the Lord, your labor will not be burdensome. It is the opposite of weariness. If you are weary, then you are not at rest in the Lord. And if you are at rest in the Lord, you will not be weary. Because Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And in the days of Jesus, to yoke two oxen together, the skilled carpenter designed the yoke to fit each ox individually. And the yoke was designed in such a way that the lead yoke will pull the weight, the greater weight. And the follower or the assistant yoke will actually just go with the flow. And it will be a much lighter weight. And Jesus used an analogy here, well known to the people then. He said, yoke with me. Let me be the lead yoke to carry the main load. Don't try to take over my role or leading. Do not take things in your own hands. Rely on God to work things out instead of engineering things or forcing the situation or driving your agenda or trying to control every circumstances and people. Do your little best and let God do the rest. God is designated to do those very difficult things. Because only God can change circumstances and people. So just to give you some examples. Example number one. God says to Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. Abraham replied, how? My wife is beyond childbearing age because of her old age. Don't worry. Just don't take things into your hands. I will sort out the age problem in due time. Just be patient. Leave it to me. If Abraham and Sarah were at rest in the Lord, they would not try to take things in their own hands and produce an Ishmael. Example number two. God said to Noah, Noah, I will bring a great flood on earth. Noah could have said, how? I have not even seen rainfall before, let alone a great flood. Noah did his part of building the ark. And God did the very difficult part of bringing the mega rainfall to cause a great flood. God wants us to carry the lighter load. And He will carry the heavier burden and load. And so many a times, we want to figure everything out. We feel self-assured only when we have a tight grip on everything, trying to control people and circumstances. And by doing so, we carry the main load. Carrying the load that Jesus is supposed to carry. Sooner or later, you will get burned out this way. You will get dried up and you will become weary. Because you are not supposed to carry that main load. So do not overthink or overanalyze. Stay within your boundary and responsibility. Keep to your part. Leave the main burden to Jesus. Do your simple best. Leave the rest to God and Jesus will give you the rest. Finally, number six attitude. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. This is a very practical teaching from the psalmist King David. You want to stop the madness? forsake wrath. You have to accept the things that you cannot change. Most people who remain angry with people or circumstances over a long period of time is because they cannot, or rather they make the choice that they want to stay mad. And because they cannot accept what is taking place in their life, they remain mad. The wrath of man does not work out the righteousness of God. It never does. And when you take over the place of a judge and you choose to execute vengeance or retribution, it will later always blow up on your face. And when you forsake wrath and let God take His rightful place as a judge, you will be much more joyous and happy. We all want a better 2018. Better does not mean there will be no problems or challenges in life. Problems and challenges there will be. So in conclusion, it will be a better year if you choose to follow God's counsel from Psalm 37. 1. Fret not. 2. Trust more in the Lord. Continue to do good. 3. Delight in the Lord, not in things or in possession. 4. Commit yourself and your ways to God. And 5. Rest in God. Let Him carry the main load. Don't try to figure all things out or overthink and overanalyze. Finally, 6. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. If you are Christian and choose to adopt this 6 attitude, God say He will order your steps. Because verse 23, verse 24 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. Though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. As a believer in Christ, there are times that we will stumble or fall for various reasons. But God assures us that we are not to worry in this Psalm 37. He said He will uphold us. Another verse, Proverbs 24 verse 16, reassures us. Though a righteous man falls 7 times, he rises again. But the wicked are brought down by calamities. We may fall or stumble. Trouble may come again. We may struggle again. But it is the Lord's purpose that we rise up again. When you fall or stumble, remember this. God never intends you to stay down forever. You may be down, but you are not out. God intends for you to rise up and keep on walking with Him. The Lord help us to apply this 6 attitude that we may have a better 2018. Amen. Lord bless you. Can I get the musicians to come forward, please? Thank you.